hey guys, I'm super excited for today's message. It's called Go the Extra Mile. And I really do believe that God has a word just for you, because God wants us to live a life that goes the extra mile, because that's where the blessings of God reside. And so I hope you enjoy this message, and I hope that God speaks to you directly. Super excited to celebrate this holiday with you. But no, all joking aside, I do want to go ahead and say happy Independence Day to each and every single one of you. You know how we like to say in England, happy Treason Day, whichever one you want to say, I'm good with. But no, seriously, like, as an Englishman, I'm super, super proud of like our little daughter, America. You just turned 250. We gave you our language. You even took the colors of our flag. You just added some stars to it. But super happy to celebrate Independence Weekend with you. Now, we're going to have fun. Some of you are going to walk out and be offended right now. It's a joke. It's a joke. But we're going to have fun in God's house. But I do want to give honor where honor is due, and that's to our lead pastors, Pastor Bill and Miss Jessica. They're incredible, incredible leaders. So grateful for them, their leadership, the years that they have invested, you know, into this city, coming here and starting this church, and have just remained faithful, you know, and they love you guys. They really, really do have the blessing to be on staff here, but they love each and every single one of you, and so grateful for them and grateful for their leadership. So can we please give it up for Pastor Bill and Miss Jessica? So the title of today's message is this: Go the Extra Mile. Go the Extra Mile. When I became a US citizen, Pastor Bill and Miss Jessica literally traveled all the way to San Antonio to come and surprise me on that day and celebrate with me. In fact, we have a quick video of it right now.
Here we go. Yeah! What's going on, American citizen? Let's go! Congratulations!
It was a great day, but that's who our lead pastors are. They literally live out this notion of going the extra mile. They didn't have to be there, but they chose to be there to surprise me. And it was an incredible moment. And all joking aside, I truly do love being a US citizen. I'm so proud that I became a US citizen. And I remember this first Sunday walking in through these doors. So many of you hugged me and congratulated me. In fact, one of the police officers here, Officer Chris Lynch, he literally cried tears of joy when he found out that I became a US citizen and wasn't going back to England on the Mayflower. And so he was super, super excited. But we're going to dive into God's word today. I'm going to take this flag off so I can preach properly. I don't want it to go on the floor though, so I'm going to hand that to Pastor Stephen right there. Thank you. And so, but before we dive into the message, let's go ahead and pray real quick. Heavenly Father, we do just come before you, and God, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you for everything that you're doing and everything that you're going to do in your house today, God. This is your stage, your platform, your altar, not mine. I pray that every ear and every heart is open to receive your word, and may nothing come out of my mouth that you do not want me to say. So Lord, this message is yours. Lead it like only you can. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen, amen. Well, this weekend, you know, we're celebrating our freedom. We're celebrating the people who sacrificed so that others could live free. And the truth is this, is that freedom has never been free. There's always a cost. Every generation has benefited because someone else was willing to do more than what was required. And that's true in our nation, it's true in our families, and it's true in our church. And today we're going to dive in together about how Jesus is calling us to do more than what is required. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 through 41, Jesus is literally preaching the Sermon on the Mount. It's one of the most famous sermons Jesus ever preached. It starts with the Beatitudes. And then this is a part of the Sermon on the Mount. We don't know how many people were there that day, but the Bible literally says that there was a great multitude of people that gathered. And this is what Jesus said in Matthew 5, 38 through 41. You have heard the law say the punishment must match the injury. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say, do not resist an evil person. If someone slaps you on the right cheek, offer the other cheek. If you are sued in court and your shirt is taken from you, give your coat too. If a soldier demands that you carry his gear for a mile, carry it 2 miles. And so my first point for us today is this: do not let evil dictate your response. Let God dictate your response. See, Jesus begins by talking about revenge, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. And then he completely flips the script by saying, don't let someone else's behavior determine yours. Don't let rude people make you rude. Don't let offended people make you offended. Don't let angry people make you angry. Your response belongs to Jesus, not to them. And so often the world will tell us, well, they deserve it. But Jesus teaches us they don't control you. And so freedom is not about getting even. Freedom is refusing to become like the people who hurt you. And I love what Jesus literally states in Matthew 5:41, and we're going to dive into this a little bit, where it says, if a soldier demands that you carry his gear for a mile, carry it 2 miles. And before I break that down, have you ever noticed that in today's culture, it celebrates doing the bare minimum? There's so often you hear that's not my job. I've done enough. I'm not paid to do that. But Jesus says, if someone makes you go 1 mile, go 2. And that statement shocked everyone listening. And here's why. Because under Roman law, a Roman soldier could legally force any Jewish citizen or non-Roman citizen to carry his equipment, but only for 1 mile. Now, bear in mind that a Roman legionnaire's full equipment, his full marching pack, usually weighed somewhere between 60 to 100 pounds. So this was an immense burden. It made it a very back-breaking task to carry out. And just so you know, a Roman mile is very similar to a mile today. It's actually about 400 feet approximately shorter. That's it. A Roman mile was measured out by 1,000 double paces. So imagine with me for a moment that you're living in a city that has just been completely taken over by the Romans. Everything that you knew, everything that you loved has been destroyed. You're now living under occupation and you're subject to Roman authority. You're walking your child home. And a Roman soldier looks at you and simply says, you carry my stuff. Carry my gear. You have no choice. You hate him. You hate Rome. You hate what they stand for. You hate what they represent. You didn't ask for it. You don't deserve it. But by law, you have to do it. Because you knew if you didn't, you'd either be beaten on the spot, you'd be arrested, you'd be flogged, and in some cases, you'd even be executed. So you carry everything. Now, most people would carry that Roman's gear for exactly 1 mile, counting every step along the way. 998, 999, 1,000. And they would drop it. They'd done their duty. But Jesus says, don't just drop it. Pick it up again. Carry it another mile. And what Jesus wants us to understand is that the soldier could command their shoulders, but he couldn't command their spirit. The first mile is required. The second mile is chosen. The first mile is the law. The second mile is love. The first mile is obligation. The second mile is worship. The miracle isn't that they carried it the first mile. They had no choice. The miracle is that after the obligation ended, grace began. And the soldier controlled the first mile. He could never control the second. And I truly believe that's actually the heart of Jesus' teaching. He's not encouraging passivity in the face of injustice. He isn't. But he's teaching us that even under the worst circumstances, you still possess something that can never be taken away. And that is the freedom to choose your response. That's your choice. That can never be taken from you. The first mile belonged to Rome. The second mile belongs to God. You know, there was a story several years ago that spread throughout the military camps here in America. And it was about an American soldier that had just returned from his deployment. And he lost many, many friends overseas. And when they landed back home, he sees all the other soldiers rushing to their families, sees all the signs. He sees his wife in the distance, his daughter in the distance. But before he went to them, he noticed another soldier standing completely alone. No one had come. No signs, no family, no hugs, just silence. And so before that soldier ran to his family, he ran to that soldier that was by himself. He walked over, he dropped his bags, he wrapped his arms around him and simply stated, "You are not standing here alone, soldier. I've got you." And he introduced him to his wife, and his wife gave him a hug. His daughter held his hand. And later that soldier stated this, "I was prepared for the worst day of my life. Instead, someone else's kindness became the reason I made it through." That soldier didn't have to. His obligation ended when the plane landed, but compassion took him another mile. And that's what Jesus does for us. Jesus always walks the second mile. Sometimes one extra act of kindness keeps someone alive emotionally. Never underestimate the power of going beyond what's expected. Because the extra mile is never crowded. Most people quit at the first one. The first mile fulfills duty. The second mile reveals Jesus. So don't let evil dictate your response. Let God dictate your response. And remember that the blessing often lives just beyond your convenience. Which brings me to my second point. No more minimum living. Do more than is expected. Some people ask, "What's the least I have to do?" But as followers of Jesus, we should be asking, "How much more can I do?" See, minimum living, it never changes a marriage. It never changes a family. It never changes your career. It never changes a city. And we have to understand that God didn't save us for minimum. The greatest opportunities are usually disguised as inconveniences. And there's three areas that I believe God is calling us to do more than is expected. And the first is in your relationships. Great marriages, great families are not made without daily work. Philippians 2, 3 and 4 says this, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others." Marriage isn't just built on romance. It's built on repeated sacrifice. Great marriages are built in ordinary moments. Putting your phone down, saying "I'm sorry," doing the dishes that you didn't dirty, making your spouse a coffee in the morning, or in my case, making my wife a nice hot cup of tea that didn't get thrown overboard in Boston. It's about praying together, serving each other. We have to understand that the second mile, it isn't glamorous. It's daily, but every healthy marriage has two people choosing the second mile. Parents, our kids don't need perfection. Can I take that off your shoulders? They don't need perfection. What our kids need is consistency. Love them one more conversation. Forgive them one more time. Encourage them one more day. You know, the California redwood trees, they're the tallest trees in the world. Some grow to over 350 feet tall. And for years, scientists and botanists were baffled about how these giant trees still stay standing in all the storms because their roots only go 6 to 12 feet deep. And then they discovered their secret. And the secret was in the roots, but not going down vertically, but spreading out horizontally. See, a California redwood tree's roots, even though it only goes down 6 to 12 feet, horizontally, their roots spread out to over 100 feet. And as they spread out, they begin to intertwine with one another, and they begin to feed off of each other, and they begin to support each other, so that no tree stands alone. It is one big giant support system. So when the storms come, the trees stay standing. And I believe that is God's vision of how our relationships are meant to look. Your marriage is meant to look like that. Your family is meant to look like that. Strong people aren't independent. Strong people stay connected. Going the extra mile means strengthening someone else's roots. Your spouse, your kids, your neighbor, your work colleague, every single person that attends this church. You may never know whose life is standing because you refuse to let go. So go the extra mile in your relationships. Go the extra mile in your work. Colossians 3, 23 and 24 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. We don't work for a paycheck. We work for Jesus. Your greatest testimony isn't a bumper sticker, especially here in Corpus. It's excellence, and excellence is evangelism without words. It's being different than all the other employees at your place of work. It's being the employee who arrives early, keeps your word, doesn't gossip, works hard when nobody's watching, doesn't complain about the boss. Your work ethic will preach before your mouth ever does. And can I share a secret with you, church? People notice second mile people. People notice second mile people. And God promotes people he can trust in private. If you can't be faithful where you are, you will never be faithful with where you want to be. People may forget your words, but they'll remember your work. So go the extra mile in your relationships. Go the extra mile in your work, and go the extra mile in your ministry. Do you have a ministry? 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. I love that Paul writes, let nothing move you. And that simply means this: just because you're in a hard season doesn't mean you quit serving. Just because you're tight financially doesn't mean you quit giving. Just because someone offended you doesn't mean you quit coming to church. Don't quit. Hard seasons don't cancel holy assignments. Hard seasons don't cancel holy assignments. So just because someone hurt you, don't stop serving. Just because life got expensive, don't stop giving. Just because you're tired, don't stop building God's kingdom. See, the enemy would love for one offense to remove you from your purpose. He would love it. He wants you to be offended. We live in this lie that we think the enemy's trying to rob us of our faith. He's not trying to destroy your faith at all. He's simply trying to distract you from your focus. So don't quit. Don't let one offense cancel your holy assignment. Don't let the enemy win. We have so many opportunities in this church for you to grow in your faith and in your relationship with Jesus. And not only do we want that for you, God wants it for you. Let me ask you this. I'm getting your face a little bit right now, but I don't care. I'm a citizen now, can't do anything. How many blessings are you missing out on because you won't go all in? And honestly, as a pastor, I hate that for you. I hate that you're missing out on the blessings of God. I hate that you're missing out on the fullness of God because you won't go all in. The enemy's done such a great job of lying to Christians about making you believe that you're too busy to serve, that it's someone else's job. Or my personal favorite, and this is where some of you are probably going to walk out, but whatever, I don't care. This is my personal favorite when Christians say this to me: I'll pray about it. What is there to pray about? That's pathetic. It is. That's a pathetic excuse. There's nothing to pray about. Because Jesus literally says in Matthew 20:28, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So why do you think you are above Jesus? You're not. I'm not. And for those of you that work on a Sunday, I'm not talking to you about serving on a Sunday, but we have opportunities to serve throughout the week. No one has an excuse to not serve in God's house. It's not a suggestion that Jesus made. Jesus didn't say if you have some extra time. Jesus didn't say when it's convenient for you. It's literally a command. And it's a command for every believer. And the beautiful thing is this, I'm not asking you to give your whole week. God's asking you to give one more hour. Can you give God an extra hour? Come to church like you always do. Worship, receive the message, then stay one more hour so someone else can have the same life-changing experience that you had. That's all it is. And just in case you're getting ready to make this excuse, well, Pastor, I have kids. Great, we've got that covered for you. Because we have something amazing called Kid Connect. And that's just for children of volunteers and staff. So after your kids attend their own service, they get to go to Kid Connect, where they build friendship with other volunteer kids and staff kids. And they get to play games and have a great time and play on the playground and get a snack. It's an incredible opportunity. And we have so many places for you to serve. Men, if you're looking for authentic friendships and real community, the Parkin team has become one of the strongest men's ministries in our church. Those guys laugh together, pray together, encourage one another. They make an incredible impact before anyone walks through these doors. Maybe God's given you a heart for children. If that's you and you're already serving in Kids Unlimited, I just want to take a moment, not as a pastor, but as a dad, to say thank you. Thank you for investing into the children of this church. Because as a dad, I see the fruit of your investment. My son Judah is 9 years old. He was challenged by one of the KU volunteers to read the entire Bible. My son took that so seriously that in 3 weeks, he read the entire Bible front to back because a KU volunteer challenged him to do it. One conversation, one moment, one arm around his shoulder to speak life into my son. Our Kids Unlimited volunteers are changing your children's life. So if you want to have the same impact, sign up and join the kids team. Maybe God's calling you to serve in Youth Unlimited. Maybe when you were a teenager, you never had anyone pour into you. So why don't you become someone that you never had for someone else? Be the person that you wanted as a teenager that you never got. Go be that for someone else that does need it. So instead of them walking out into the world, they'll walk towards Jesus. Make a difference in our youth ministry. Maybe God has given you the gift of hospitality. You naturally smile. You've got that Joel Osteen smile. I love Joel. I love his smile. I wish I had his smile, but I don't. I'm British, so I have British teeth. But maybe you have Joel's smile. First impressions would be the great place for you. That before someone ever hears a sermon, you get to be the hands and feet of Jesus as they walk in through these doors, and you get to see them, and you get to notice them, and they get to feel seen and known and loved by you simply saying, I'm so glad you're here. It makes a difference. And if you're married, one of the best things you can do is serve together. It will change your marriage. It will strengthen your marriage. Imagine this. Imagine if every single person in this room today made that decision. That we're going to be a church that will serve and attend. We're going to give God 2 hours on a Sunday. Imagine the people we could reach. Imagine the families we could impact. Imagine the children we would disciple. Imagine how many first-time guests would walk in and never walk out. So please don't leave here today without taking that next step. So I'm going to challenge you right now to scan the QR code on the seat back in front of you. Scan it up on the screen. Go to the Next Step Center after service. Join a team. You have no excuse. Do something and serve in God's house. Take a next step. Your 1 hour could become someone's forever. The kingdom always advances because ordinary people choose one more mile. And that's how we're even celebrating Independence Day, because on July 4th, 1776, 56 traitors, sorry, men, approved the Declaration of Independence. Most people remember the signatures, few remember the cost. Many lost homes, several lost businesses. Some were hunted by British troops with a number that were captured. Families were displaced. Their wealth disappeared, yet they continued because they believed that future generations deserved freedom more than they deserved comfort. History remembers them not because what they did was easy, but because they went further than comfort demanded. Your faithfulness today becomes someone else's miracle tomorrow. Every freedom we celebrate this weekend exists because someone chose a second mile. And our spiritual freedom happened in the same way. Jesus didn't stop halfway to Calvary. He finished it. He got nailed to the cross. He bled for you and I with a crown of thorns on his head, and he simply stated, "It is finished." Jesus chose the second mile. Which brings me to my third and final point. If you want extraordinary results, give it extra mile efforts. Proverbs 11:18 says, "Those who do what is wrong really earn nothing, but those who plant what is right will certainly be rewarded." 2 Corinthians 9:6, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously." God rewards sowing, not wishing. See, we all want extraordinary blessings, but few of us are willing to be and live in extraordinary obedience. Everyone wants a miracle, few are willing to plant. The harvest always grows where someone keeps sowing, long after everyone else quits. So imagine with me, there's two people digging for water, and they get 20 feet down into the ground, nothing. One quits. The other keeps going. 5 feet later, an explosion of water comes out. From the surface, it may look like he got lucky. The truth is, he didn't. He just simply refused to quit one shovel too early. And the difference between your ordinary and extraordinary is usually just one more step. Many miracles are waiting just beyond the place where most people stop. And the second mile often contains the blessing the first mile never revealed. So this week, church, before you react, before you quit, before you settle, ask yourself this question: what would the second mile look like? Because ordinary people stop after 1 mile. Followers of Jesus, we keep walking because that's where lives change. Can I tell you who walked the greatest second mile? Jesus. See, Jesus left heaven. That was 1 mile. He lived among sinners another mile. He washed the feet of people who would literally abandon him another mile. He carried the cross another mile. He forgave those who nailed him there another mile. He died for people who didn't deserve it another mile. The greatest second mile in the history is not carrying a Roman backpack. It was Jesus carrying our sin. And Jesus never asks us to go somewhere he hasn't already gone. And today, some of you in here, you stopped after the first mile. And God is asking you to trust him with another one. Another prayer, another act of forgiveness, another invitation, another year of serving, another step of generosity, another attempt to restore your marriage, another conversation with your prodigal child. Will you go one more step? Will you take that extra mile? The world doesn't need more Christians who do the minimum. It needs Christians who are going to be disciples and make people wonder, why would anyone love me like that? And our answer is simple, because that is how Jesus loves us. The second mile may be difficult. It may be difficult, but it's where God does extraordinary things. And again, we're celebrating our independence. as a nation. On July 4th, 1776, the Declaration of Independence was signed. Well, today, Sunday, July 5th of 2026, I believe that as a church, we need to make a declaration ourselves. And so as a new US citizen, I declare this today, our church, that on this day, your best days are not behind you, they are ahead of you. I declare that God is raising up second mile Christians in this house. I declare that where there has been fear, there will now be faith. I declare that marriages are going to be restored because someone chooses the second mile. I declare that prodigal sons and daughters are going to come home. I declare that businesses will flourish because you choose integrity over shortcuts. I declare that doors are going to open that no man can shut. I declare that this church will continue to change this city because ordinary people are going to start living out extraordinary obedience. I declare that your children will know Jesus because you stayed faithful. I declare that where the seeds have been planted in tears, you will one day reap with a harvest of joy. I declare that your obedience today is writing someone's testimony that someone else will need tomorrow. I declare that chains are breaking. I declare that hope is rising. I declare that faith is growing. I declare that healing is coming. And I declare that your miracle is on the way. That is our declaration, church. And if you are in agreement with that declaration, stand to your feet and give Jesus a shout of praise because he chose to walk the second mile for you and for me. And he deserves all the glory. Give it up for Jesus. That is our declaration as a church moving forward. The declaration of a new US citizen. July 5th, 2026, Declaration Day. You can go ahead and be seated. God is moving in this place. We got to move forward with that declaration. And maybe for you today, your second mile is to simply trust Jesus, to invite him into your life. Maybe you've been running the first mile over and over and over again, and you're getting the same result, but your pride is getting in the way because you refuse to acknowledge Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Jesus went all the way so that you could come all the way home. And today I want to give you that opportunity to stop running the same mile. Let Jesus take over your life and come home. Come home. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around, if that's you today, and you want to simply say, I'm done running the same mile over and over again. I want Jesus to take over my life. I'm going to lead out in a very simple prayer, so that you can have the opportunity to invite Jesus into your life. And we're going to pray this prayer together as one big family, supporting those that are praying this prayer today. So if that's you, and you want to leave here changed today, pray this prayer with me. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for me. I ask you right now that you, Jesus, forgive me for all my sins. I repent and say sorry. Please come into my life, dwell in my heart, and be my Lord and Savior. Thank you that I am brand new in you. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. Still with every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around, this is your moment. But if that's you and you just prayed that prayer today, I want you to take a bold step, a courageous step. No one's looking. This is just between you and God. But if that's you, would you raise your hand up in the air right now so that I can see it? Keep those hands raised up high. I see those hands. I see it. I see your hands. I see it down here at the front. I see your hands at the back. Keep those hands raised high. I see it. I see it. I see your hands right here. Is there anyone else that wants to say, yeah, that's me? This is between you and God. Don't let the enemy rob you of your moment. If you're watching online, you can simply put hands raised. Or click the box that says hand raised. But if that's you, raise your hand, keep it higher. You can go ahead and put your hands down. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that as we celebrate our freedom today, we first and foremost remember that you gave us our freedom first by going to the cross, by dying at Calvary, and rising again 3 days later, proving that you are God. And so, Lord, I thank you for each and every single decision that was made today. Lord, I thank you that their name is now written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you for our freedom. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen.